This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. Good morning on the 9th of January, 2026. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller reporting on Hat News today. Stories on what bills Indiana Farm Bureau members said they'll be watching during their annual legislative forum this week. And a groundbreaking was held yesterday for a new egg processing facility here in Indiana. The Hat podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for more moisture with continued mild temperatures. Change, though, is on the way. And yesterday, grains just above even, soybeans lower. Analysis coming with Carl Setzer on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
One ag bill getting a lot of early attention at the State House, and a brand new egg production facility opening soon in Noble County. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Fort Wayne Farm Show, returning to the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum January 13th, 14th, and 15th. Admission is free. Indiana Farm Bureau members were in Indianapolis earlier this week for their annual legislative forum to discuss policy priorities for the year and specific bills they're keeping an eye on. Eric Pfeiffer was there.
Thanks, CJ. INFB President Randy Crone says there is one bill in particular that is getting a lot of attention early in the session. House Bill 1064 is authored by INFB Vice President Kendall Culp, also a representative for District 16. The bill would make repeated operation of an unmanned aerial vehicle, or drone, over private real property a nuisance, with both civil and criminal penalties.
If you're around the Jay County area, there's been a lot this past year when avian influenza broke out and drones flying around and questioning, did they carry that in or not? You know, I'm not saying one way or another, don't know. But somebody with drones shouldn't be flying over our private property without permission.
There's also House Bill 1315 that could potentially dissolve townships.
What's being proposed will eliminate a lot of rural townships, the very small rural ones. And, you know, our membership's interested. We've always said, no, we want to maintain township government. But our policy changed in August and said we're willing to have discussions and look, how do you do it efficient? But we want to make sure that we're not moving some of the costs from our cities and larger townships to the small rural ones.
That tax burden could shift if any of those townships were to get annexed. Crone says the best way to make your voice heard on these issues and others is to show up at the State House and speak directly with your legislator.
I always say every day's Farm Bureau Day at the State House. We generally have some members there every day talking about the issues that's important to them. And the lobbyists can back them up and help and reinforce and get to the details. But if they see constituents there and they care and they can explain how it impacts their farm, that makes the most difference, and that's critical. And that's how we get things done for Indiana Farm Bureau and for agriculture here in Indiana.
If you're interested in going to the State House, Crone encourages you to reach out to your County Farm Bureau or your Farm Bureau Regional Manager. From the State House, I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Farmers, the Fort Wayne Farm Show celebrates 37 great years at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum January 13th to the 15th. The area's largest variety of farm equipment and services, and the latest technology, educational seminars presented daily. Register to win the grand prize, a Toro Time Cutter Zero Turn Lawnmower, courtesy of Plevna Implement. Admission is free.
The Fort Wayne Farm Show is next week, January 13th through 15th at the War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne, open late Wednesday until 8.
An official groundbreaking ceremony was held Thursday on a brand new $20 million egg processing facility in northeastern Indiana.
It's the right move for us as a company and a fantastic location and community presence here.
And that's Cody Herbrook, Associate Vice President of Operations for Herbrook's Poultry Ranch. The company is building a 75,000 square foot facility in Kendallville, which is in Noble County, Indiana, just across the border from Michigan.
We're based out of Saranac, Michigan, where my grandpa and grandma founded the company back in 1958. But we have a lot of operations in the northern Indiana area and a lot of egg-laying hens here. And so for us, the timing was just right to have a processing plant here for those local eggs here right in Indiana.
Cody says the new facility will process about 420 million eggs each year.
It's a lot of eggs that it takes to feed America, and we're just a small piece of that to be part of people's breakfast every day.
He adds that both Indiana and Michigan provide outstanding opportunities, not just for the poultry industry, but for all of agriculture.
Michigan and Indiana just both have such a rich agricultural history, and the communities that we're able to be a part of are also a part of that rich agricultural history. And Kendallville to us was very similar to what we're used to in Michigan and in other parts of Indiana, where we're just able to find and plug into a great community and a great resource of people that enjoy food and enjoy agriculture and are excited along with us.
The new facility is expected to open in the spring and create 60 new jobs. Check out my full conversation with Cody Herbrook and read more about Herbrook's Poultry Ranch in Kendallville. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Low pressure trying to move through the Great Lakes here this morning. This low moved from southwest Kansas to eastern Wisconsin yesterday, and then through the early morning hours, traipsed across northern Michigan and now up into southern parts of Ontario. We are going to be seeing this frontal boundary and this low trigger a little bit more moisture this morning, but I think we wind down by probably midday. Clouds may try and break up in the afternoon. Will they break up completely? I'm not going to guarantee it at this point, but we may see a few breaks in cloud cover. Staying mild here, maybe not as mild tomorrow as today, but I do think that we put together a very above normal kind of session for your Friday. That brings us to tomorrow. A cold front is going to work through. Right now, it does look like the second wave of moisture associated with this front is going to be more of a southern feature. So I'm looking for scattered showers tomorrow morning and midday in the southern parts of Indiana, and then especially in Ohio, but maybe not so much over the rest of the state. However, cold air is coming in. I look for it to be very blustery by tomorrow afternoon, and we will see some lake effect cloud cover ramp up. Also, though, with the way the circulation is moving, I'm not sure we see a big lake effect issue for Sunday. In northern tier counties, maybe we see clouds and a few flakes, but I think central and southern Indiana just see a mix of clouds and sunshine, and Arctic high pressure will build in for Sunday late afternoon and evening. That should allow us to clear out overnight, and Monday should turn out chilly but sunny. A warming trend in here for Tuesday, but I think it's relatively short-lived. With the warming, we likely see a little bit of fog and some cloud cover, but nothing major. And then we play the Mother Nature can't decide game for the rest of the week. Cold air comes diving back down on Wednesday. I'm looking for it to stay through Thursday and Friday. Northwest flow may mean a little bit more cloud cover coming off the Great Lakes, and there's a minor low in there as well that can trigger some on-again, off-again snowfall for Friday into Saturday. Still, though, the cold air is in control. control through the rest of next week. A reinforcing shot of cold air trying to come down for the week of the 20th right now. Warm air staying well off to the west. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Quiet, steady grains, lower soybeans. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Closing Farm Market Report. Brought to you by AcrePro. Buying or selling farmland, accomplish your goals with the help of AcrePro's land professionals. Get in touch today at acrepro.com. Settlements from Thursday trade coming up. First market analysis. And I secured that from Carl Setzer of Consus Ag Consulting near the end of the session. Looks like the markets are positioning for that Monday USDA crop update. A lot of data coming on Monday. Additionally, Carl, it appears maybe the soybean market came up against some chart resistance after a much higher day on Wednesday.
Yeah, we ran into a little bit of resistance on the soybean contract. Around that 1070 mark is some pretty firm resistance for the March soybeans. Also, soybeans seeing some pressure from the Goldman roll that's taking place right now. Really not too much of a factor in corn. Funds were short on the nearby corn, so we're seeing a little bit of buying take place there. In soybeans, though, we're seeing some liquidation. Also, thoughts that we could see a little bit more precipitation in South America as we move into the weekend. A little bit wetter, not just for Brazil, but also for Argentina, putting some pressure on the soybeans. Corn, even though we had a relatively negative outlook from the export numbers for the week, corn able to shrug it off due to the fact it was during the holiday break and post decent gains during the day, but really not a lot of buying interest across the entire marketscape today.
Yeah, that corn export sales number actually below the estimates, which we've not seen for, it seems, a very long time. Meanwhile, a soybean flash sale to China announced in the morning, and it didn't seem to matter.
No, the market's really become a little bit immune to the flash sales. And right now, with the positioning taking place for the report, it's one of those consequences where managed money flow really does negate any of the fundamental information you have, which is why we basically shrugged off the poor number in corn today. We did get some reports that we had, especially South Korea, in shopping for some feed grain corn, likely going to get the nod to the United States, not necessarily from the price, but from the quality of U.S. corn versus other sources, along with a weaker U.S. dollar we've had versus other currencies.
And that report on Monday, lots of data. Could it be impactful as far as the markets are concerned?
I think it very well could be, especially in the corn market. And I'm looking at historical data here. Corn in four of the last 5 years has made a 10-cent move in corn, too low or too higher. Looking at it, going into the report, I have a feeling we're going to be paying a little bit more attention to the quarterly stocks data than what trade has. And that's where we're seeing some pressure with the December 1st corn inventory expected to be up 7% from last year, soybean inventory up 5%, wheat stocks 4% higher. That may be what trade focuses on.
Carl Setzer at Consus Ag Consulting. Carl's number, if you'd like to chat things over with him, 989-506-1587. Now the Thursday settlements down three quarters on March corn, 446. Unchanged May, 454. And up three quarters for July, 460 and a half. March beans, 1061 and a quarter, down a nickel and three quarters. And May down a nickel and a half at 1073 and a quarter. March wheat unchanged, 518. February live cattle, 235.27, up 75 cents. Feb lean hogs, 85.87, up 107. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.